You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And we're back just in time for the home stretch.
Ooh-wee.
We got a fun show today. In a little bit, we are going to do a draft, an under 25 draft of all the under 25 players in Major League Baseball, or I guess I should say 25 and under, rather than under 25. That's probably more specific.
25 but is inclusive.
Inclusive, yes, because we're an inclusive podcast, which we're very excited about as draft Knicks, and in sort of the spirit, I guess you could say, of fantasy football starting up. This is our draft. Going forward, this is my only draft. I didn't even do fantasy football this year.
I ended up in four leagues.
That's very predictable to me. Because
two of them don't really matter.
It's predictable to me because everybody usually gets asked to join like a new league almost every year, and you're working at the NFL Network, and you love drafting.
That's
things.
True. I do love drafting. So
it makes sense. Yeah. So we will be talking about that in a little bit. We're also going to, before we do that, we're going to talk a little bit about the playoff races. And before we do that, I will give a shout out to Boardwalk Audio and to OffTheBenchBaseball.com for their continued support. We appreciate them. Visit BoardwalkAudio.com for a bunch of cool podcasts, and visit OffTheBenchBaseball.com for all the baseball analysis you need coming into the rest of the playoff race. And with that said, the playoff race,
kind of boring.
It's there's not a lot of tight stuff happening, which makes it, when you're planning a baseball podcast, difficult to think of things to talk about that are interesting that haven't been covered already.
There haven't even really even been any big shifts at all.
Yeah, the shifts that there have been seem to be like a little bit more gradual in a way. I guess it feels gradual to me because in five of the six divisions, the leads just are incrementally expanding every day. It doesn't seem like anybody's making a run to tighten things up. The most recent one, I guess, would be the Cleveland run with the Twins, but now the Twins have been very hot and expanded that lead again. So it feels like there is not even a lot of jockeying going on, apart from, I guess, the NL Central, where the Cubs are three games behind the Cardinals. But even there, the Brewers have fallen back to the point where it seems unrealistic.
They're out of the division race, I feel like.
Yeah, win the division. And teams have been falling out of the wild card. I think, you know, in the AL right now, we have a three-team race for two wild card spots with Oakland, Tampa, and Cleveland. And the Red Sox sort of on the very periphery. And then in the NL, we've seen a few of the teams that we were talking about at the trade deadline fall back.
Like the Giants,
unsurprisingly.
The Rockies are out of it.
Yeah. The Pirates, the Reds.
Yeah.
So there we have the Nationals up a couple games for the first spot. The Cubs currently in the second spot. And then a tightly bunched group, which includes the Phillies, the Diamondbacks, the
Brewers,
and the Mets.
Speaking of the Mets, we can talk about that 7-run.
Yeah, one of the crazier games that you'll see, and very apt that it happened to the Mets, but the Mets blew a 6-run lead
Kurt
in the
Suzuki
ninth inning.
Suzuki with the 3-run dinger.
Yeah. Did you happen to see there was a graphic from MLB Network floating around that had the two teams' records, like franchise history records, when leading by six in the ninth and by trailing by six in the ninth, and it was like, you know, this had never happened before, and it was something like the Mets were 850-0 while leading in the sixth, which...
I did say a thing where there's like a statistic argument that this is literally the worst game that the Mets have ever played, like the worst loss that they've ever suffered.
I believe it. I mean, their win probability had to be
99%.
It had to be
like ridiculous.
An infinitesimal like chance. 6 runs is a huge lead.
But the crazy thing is that the Mets scored 5 in the top of that inning.
Yeah.
To increase their lead by 5.
Yeah, to make it seem like if you're a Mets fan, that's the point where you're like, well, turn off the game, a night well played. I don't need to see a middle reliever come in and close this out.
I feel like this is great, though, because I was watching the Brewers-someone game. I went to, before the Dodgers game, whenever we went to that Monday, Brewers were playing
Labor Day.
Brewers were playing somebody. And first of all, Yelich got called out on a terrible strike 3 call. But anyway, I was like, this is September baseball. This is so, I love September baseball. And I feel like that Nationals Mets game fits right into like a good start to September.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's,
you're saying, hopefully we get some kind of like crazy and compelling baseball, even though maybe the races themselves are not too wild.
I guess what I'm saying is don't, even if your team's up 6 in the bottom of the ninth, don't stop watching.
Yeah. Well, I have no problem with that. The White Sox are never up 6 in the ninth. So if they're down 6 in the ninth, I'll stop watching and won't stress about it too
hard. Last time I stopped watching the Cubs when they were up big, Bryce Harper had a game-winning grand slam,
which I saw.
Yeah,
I took over for you.
Yeah,
we tag teamed it. That was a crazy game. A walk-off grand slam.
I mean,
he destroyed that ball.
He did. David Bote did that on Sunday Night Baseball last year.
Oh yeah, right. It was his like first game or something, right?
No, but it was early.
Yeah, I remember we talked about it on the show.
But there's not a lot of
David Bote is the Bryce Harper of the Cubs, I would say. You know what I was thinking
similar
about?
Similar contracts.
Very tangentially, I was thinking about, do you remember when the debate was, you know, who was the best young player in the league, Mike Trout or Bryce Harper?
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at their career stats. Like, I mean, that was a few years ago. Harper's had his ups and downs, but it's not like he's been a bad player since his MVP season, right?
No,
he's
he
been
just
like,
hasn't been elite.
Yeah, largely an all-star. Mm-hmm. Trout is like twice as valuable as him on his career. Like, it's insane. Yeah. Like, there's a chasm there.
Do you think that Bryce Harper is... whose shadow is bigger hanging over Bryce Harper? Mike Trout or his expectations? Or 17-year-old Sports Illustrated cover Bryce Harper? Which shadow is more annoying to him? Or do you think he's still under?
I think it's got to be the expectations had for him. And the fact that during that MVP season, what was that, 2014, 2015?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
When he was a 10-win player.
So
like when you
saw
see that
high.
Height,
yeah.
You and he's so hyped, pretty much anything you do after that is going to be underwhelming. And that's exactly what his late Nationals career was and the start to his Phillies career. I mean, he's been playing well lately, I think. But, you know, I wonder, that's not to say that he couldn't put together another MVP season. Like, he obviously has the talent. But I think right now, if, like, he sort of continued as he was, which, or as he is, which is maybe a, like, what, top 30 player in baseball?
Yeah, like, what? He's probably still worth, like, 4 wins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have his exact stats this season in front of me. I'll pull them up right now. But
I mean, I think the 10-win season's crazy because it's, like, you're never going to get that again, but I think that people thought maybe he could be worth like 6 or 7 or 8 for a while.
And he still could. I mean, that was the thing about his free agency is he's 26 this year.
Right.
So like theoretically his prime is still in front of him. By baseball reference, he's been worth 3 wins this year. So he'll probably finish between 3 and 4, which is an improvement over last year with the Nationals. But as well as 2016. So he's basically, since that MVP year, he's alternated sort of like actually not very good at all, like being worth about 1.5 wins, which is like bench guy value, even though he's been a good hitter during that time for the most part, and being still a very good player. Yeah, I don't know. I think like if he was to continue being worth like 3 to 4-ish wins every season from here on out, his career would be kind of a disappointment.
Yeah.
Like that, like, and it's hard to saddle a guy with, like, if you're not a Hall of Famer, you're a disappointment, but those were the expectations.
And he, and like you said, because he had that season, he has, or it feels like he had the skill set or potential.
Yeah. I wonder if it's a little bit Joe Mauer-ish, his career path, where, like, you know, Mauer won that MVP the 1 year that he hit for power, and then he basically never really did it again, and he was a perennial all-star, but I think...
Well, that was position-based largely. Like, yeah, if he was a first baseman, he might not have been an all-star
right,
with the same numbers every year.
But he never really lived up to the huge contract that the Twins gave him. He was still good.
Yeah.
I just want... can see that as a potential path from here forward for Harper. Not that I hope for it. I hope that he plays better.
No, it'd be nice if he was a... But, like, yeah, right now he's just, like, definitely not a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be nice for him to be in that discussion because he is fun to watch, even though I've said I hated him.
Yeah, you named him as one of your least favorite players in the league at some point, didn't you?
Yeah, because I just like players that play the game the right way. No,
is that
I don't know. No, it's not. I don't know. I think he's a fun little villain. I don't like actually dislike him. I think he's a good. He plays the role of villain well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
And so why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think when you're picking a villain, I think I've talked about this before. Like I used to hate Michael Jordan, and I hated Kobe, and I was like,
oh yeah, you talked about this.
Hate the best player because you're wasting your time.
Yeah,
so you gotta pick a villain who isn't the best. So as long as Bryce Harper isn't the best, he's a fun villain.
That may have been in our last episode.
Oh, really?
Talked about that, which
sorry,
was it? No, it's okay. It's been a while because we've been both busy and there hasn't been that much to talk about. Those are sort of the two reasons.
Yeah.
So here we are again. Yeah, that Nationals Mets game, obviously crazy. The Mets have decidedly not kept their momentum up from their hot streak that we did talk about in our last
episode. But
they're
not out of it.
They're not out of it, but they are, what, like fifth in the wild card right now?
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
You know, I don't... When the Diamondbacks are ahead of you, you know, your wild card hunt is not going well.
Do you even think that the players on the Diamondbacks realize that they're still in it?
I'm sure they do. Torey Lovello keeps them motivated. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I'm sure they have a big chip on their shoulder.
They definitely do. Yeah,
you know, everybody's probably talking about like the Nationals and the Cubs.
I would love to see a poll if you said however many teams, 7 teams are within 5 games of the wild card. How many people would not say the Diamondbacks? Yeah.
Yeah. Probably a pretty large percentage, I would guess.
Wouldn't?
Yeah, they would.
Yeah,
they would not.
They would not.
They would say the Giants or something.
Or the Reds even, maybe. Who knows? But good for them. Maybe in 3 weeks we'll be talking about how they're 1 game out. Oh, you know, the true dream is having a 5-way tie, right?
Yeah, for sure. play-in game after play-in game.
We talked about that last year because there were a lot of realistic possibilities for that to happen.
Yeah, I would be surprised if it got to that point this year. It would require basically no one playing at the like their current level. It would require the Nationals and the Cubs to start playing worse and all of the other teams to start playing better.
Better.
But nobody did. It, the odds seem slim, but who knows? They have been very even all year.
Could happen. Anyway,
that would go with our trend of our like guesses and predictions this year, where we've just made terrible prediction after terrible prediction.
Wrong.
So if we said, "Oh, there's no way this would happen," that should lock it in that it's going to happen.
We've been swept up in trends.
We've been trendy. We're typical, just trendy boys.
Typical
millennials, LA assholes.
All they can do is whatever's hot on Twitter. Can we real quick talk about Verlander throwing that 120 pitch, one walk, 14 strikeout, no hitter?
Yeah.
Isn't
Let's
that
talk
crazy?
About it.
That's all I can say about it. That dude.
Justin Verlander is very good. We thought he was cooked. I thought prior to that, he was overrated for many years. I'm prepared to eat my words on all of that because Justin Verlander is the best starting pitcher of this era. I think even up till recently, we were sort of talking about like him versus
Scherzer.
You think
Scherzer. He's better than Kershaw?
Yeah. He's done it for longer.
He's done it for longer.
I mean, we'll see if Kershaw...
I mean, I think Kershaw is really the only one in the conversation because Scherzer hasn't done it for as long.
Yeah. And they're the two guys with the MVPs also, right?
I don't think Scherzer won an MVP. I think Verlander and Kershaw are the two
no,
guys.
No, that's,
oh,
what, that's
oh,
what I mean.
Yeah. Those two won the MVPs. I think that Kershaw's peak is probably a little higher.
I think...
Because, I mean, he had that, like, what, six straight seasons or seven straight seasons where he lowered his career ERA each season. Like, that's absurd.
Yeah, and he had the sort of, like, gaudier numbers by...
Yeah.
Having an ERA below two for several seasons and that kind of thing. I think like Verlander's pitched in the AL his whole career, which especially over that length of time, like really adds up for getting that free out once through the order over 12 years really affects the overall numbers.
Yeah.
And I think that Verlander has more signature moments. The three,
no-hitters
plus the World Series run with the Astros plus...
I mean, he made it to two World Series with the Tigers.
Right, which Kershaw has done with the Dodgers, but I think Kershaw has not been the primary force behind those World Series appearances the last 2 years.
It seems like Verlander was more directly involved, especially in that.
Right, they sort of only got that good as he's begun this rather gentle decline, although he has been very good this year. So it's not to say that, like...
Kershaw.
Yeah. It's not to say that, like, Kershaw's done or that he couldn't overtake Verlander in career value or anything like that. But I just think, like, if you're going to be talking about baseball in the mid-2000s, you know, the teens, I think if you're picking an all decade team, say, I think you'd go with Verlander.
I think I would too.
Or I think I would.
I think I would too.
Maybe that can be our next draft.
Or, well, here's the thing. Here's the cheat is you have one righty and one lefty, right?
Yeah, fuck cheating.
And that's what it is.
You know, I hate cheaters.
You do.
Down
hate
with
cheaters.
Steroids, guys. Down with.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Anybody who drinks coffee in the dugout
is too hyped up during the game. Even sunflower seeds. Spin them in a cup.
Get your the level of salt in your blood high enough, you become superhuman.
I feel like Verlander, I read an article on 538 where it was like statistically Verlander isn't a Hall of Famer. And this is like the one old timer I was like, I don't care. He is a Hall of Famer. Like,
yeah.
I watched him. Like, this is my old man. Like,
I think
you can throw your stats out the window, pal. Like,
yeah,
he's
well,
a Hall of Famer.
I also think like it's not really throwing stats out the window. I just think that for contemporary starting pitchers, like from now until maybe forever, like jaws and those sort of like career value metrics are just like completely fucked.
Oh, because of the decreased workload.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's, you can't compare what Cy Young or whoever is doing to what current pitchers are doing. It's a completely different job.
Yeah. So I love Justin Verlander. I'm happy for him.
You taking him number one in our
under
25
draft? Yeah. He is under 25, right?
Yeah. You know, that's the crazy thing is like he was so dominant right from his age 7 season with the Tigers.
I forgot he was the original rookie of the year.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I mean, people don't talk about it, but
he broke his arm,
and since then he's been firing darts. Actually, his couple of down years with Detroit, his arm healed, and they had to re-break it. He went to Driveline to re-break it.
That was in that Astros book, right? That how they can re-break arms to create the
the rookie of the MVP machine.
That's what happens to everybody. Garrett Cole came, and they're like, "We're gonna bust your arm," but believe me.
they're working on with Zach Greinke right now.
So if you were Zach Greinke or if you were Garrett Cole and you showed up and they were like, you know, how we make pitchers better, and they're like, we're gonna have to break your arm, you gotta trust us though, like, would you do it?
I guess so.
You'd have to.
I mean,
Verlander walks in and is like, they did it to me, they broke my arm.
Yeah, if Justin Verlander said it, I'd be like, okay, I guess. Like, how long am I going to be out?
It's crazy. A week and a half. That's it. You're 10-day DL and you're fine.
Okay.
IL.
Yeah. And this, like, won't shrink my testicles or anything.
we're not saying that. You'll get to play and you'll play better. Yeah. Sometimes breaking your arm shrinks your testicles.
Yeah, well, you know, like steroids. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's all connected. If you juice your arm, you get back knee. You shrink your testicles.
Juice your arm.
All right, we've gotten way off track here.
How so?
Why don't we start the draft, huh?
Let's do it.
Let's start the draft.
Should we determine first pick? Here's next pitch. If it's a ball, I get first pick. If it's a strike, you get first pick.
Okay, but Daniel Palka's up.
We're
so
watching.
It's
we're
strike.
Watching. Yep, strike.
Oh, he swung. Okay.
That counts, right? I gave you the odds on that one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You can have first pick.
First pick for me. So let's.
Is it currently right now, this moment, under 25, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And let's talk just for a second about what the ideal outcome is here. Like what we're trying to accomplish. Like, I guess this is sort of like if we're building our individual dream teams for, you know, the next 5 years or something like that.
For now,
right?
And forever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that someone saying you win $50 million for every World Series you win in the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I think we have an eye for being good right now, but also an eye for wanting to dominate in 5 years.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Is that a good criteria? Are those good
criteria?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I think so. It's like a mix between the futures game and the All-Star game.
Yeah.
We're not taking into account salaries.
This is just we have
the players that we would want on our team if you and I were scheduling sort of an All-Star game.
Combined with
the futures game, and the winner got $50 million.
Sure.
And this was the draft that we were
doing. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
This is the draft, and it's going to be a draft like. Back and forth.
Yeah, we're going to snake it.
Oh, we're going to snake?
Well, I
if
guess
we snake,
not, actually.
I'd get two picks in a row. We can just go
no,
back and
forth. No, we should
go
back and forth.
And we're fielding it just a starting lineup, right?
Yeah. And I don't think we're doing... I only have written down the fielding positions and then one pitcher.
Great.
We're not doing relief pitchers. We're not
doing a DH.
Yes.
Yeah. No D. Well, let's do a DH.
Yeah, but the... Well, okay.
We just get an extra player at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Has to be your last pick.
You just get
one more player.
Last it. Okay,
I'll throw a wrinkle at you. More player to be like, I want this guy.
And you have to say like that.
Yeah, I'll take this guy.
Yeah, so really it's nothing more but than like a fun fantasy. But I think like one thing that I was thinking about in sort of thinking about this topic that is a little bit interesting to me is like, I feel like there's a whole generation of young stars, like players we think of as young stars who are no longer young stars. You know what I mean? They're just stars.
Like Trout even.
Yeah, like Trout, like Mookie Betts, like Jose Altuve, like these guys who in our collective mind we've been thinking about as the future of baseball are now just baseball.
They are like, the now of baseball.
Yeah, they are baseball. Mm-hmm. And so now there's a new generation of young guys who are going to be sort of the next wave. And I think that is what we are exploring here is like who are going to be the next faces of baseball.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So
that's interesting. Getting old.
I know. That's
just what
that's
it is.
Why
we're getting old.
This was interesting to me as a topic. Yeah, I mean, we are getting old.
Some people were going to be born when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back. What happened to the days of the hit and run?
How come nobody spits anymore?
I chewed for 30 years and I'm fine.
All right, you got first pick. Who are you going to go with?
My first pick. There is some recency bias here in terms of the most recent season in particular. But I got to go with Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
I mean, in addition to just owning the league this year, he's a good defender at multiple positions.
Mm-hmm.
Off the field, sort of a charismatic guy. Cool swing. Huge fan favorite in L.A. Terrible walk-up song. He walks up to Hotel California, which...
A friend of ours told a story that he heard that song when he was like 21 in the minors. And was going around being like, have you guys heard this song? And everyone was like, yeah, it's Hotel California. Don't know if it's true, but I heard it from a friend in L.A., so it's pretty close to being true. He hit a digger when we saw him. People went nuts.
Yeah.
Boy, people love Kike, too. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Dodgers fans are huge on Kike Hernandez.
Good pick. Should I pick?
Thank you. Yeah, why don't you take the
next
pick?
This is a hard one. Mm-hmm. Like, if you left me Bellinger there, I would have taken him. I think I'm going to... this sucks. I'm going to go with Acuna.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I just like his position better than who I'm guessing who you're going to pick. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about that. I guess I can put him at center. Yeah, I'll go Acuna. I already said it. I can put him in center. Can he play center, do you think? Does he play center?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
seems so fun. Braves fans love him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's an electric player. You don't have to, like...
Defend.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think I know who you're going to take, and I think that now you have quite the team. But, yeah, I just
well,
like
you
I
also
like
got to
exciting
think
he
about...
is.
He started about half his games in center this year.
Okay.
A little over half.
That's pretty good.
You got to think about... You got to think about positional scarcity a little bit, too.
Right.
And obviously, being a center fielder, being an up-the-middle player is...
pretty good.
Pretty good. And there is a lot of depth at... I mean, do you think I'm taking Bregman?
You're taking Bregman, but are you not?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I am. Maybe right. I'm not. I will say third base, I think, is one of the spots of great positional depth with these
That's
guys.
True.
We got Bregman, we got Devers, we got Moncada. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Who's it gonna, well, now I want to know. I've made my pick. We have number one picks, Cody Bellinger.
Also, there's the whole age trajectory. I mean, if we're saying
I see.
Over the next 5 years, Bregman is 25. Devers is 22, I believe, still.
How old's it? And Acuna's low 20s, right?
Yeah, I believe Acuna is also
22. Well, great. So you tied me into it. I'm keeping him. I already made the pick. I want Acuna. I want him in center.
Put him out there. He's 21 still, actually.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
He's still in this draft 4 years from now.
Yeah. We got jailbait out there. You got jailbait
okay,
out there.
Okay,
center.
Let's take it easy. Who's your second pick?
I am going to go with... I'm going to go with Bregman.
Yeah.
I mean, he's ridiculous. He's walked more than he struck out this year. He's
an elite defender.
Yeah, elite defender. He's nearly a 7-win player, despite the fact that his BABIP is only .288.
Gross. He came out of nowhere, kind of, right?
Well, by nowhere, you mean the second pick in the draft.
Yeah.
I think he was overshadowed
yeah.
on the Astros by
That's probably what
Carlos
it was.
Correa and Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was a great prospect and has turned into I do think he's a better player than even his prospect status, but that's mostly just because he's so good that any he's better than any prospect has a reason
to be.
To be.
Right. All right.
One All other right. name on that third base list that we didn't talk about, Dark Horse, Vlad Jr.
And by Dark Horse, do you mean... No, he's not going to be my next pick. He is a Dark Horse, though. My next pick... Okay, you have two. You have Bellinger. Where are you putting Bellinger? What's his position?
I'm putting him in left for now, but he's fungible. maybe we'll flip-flop him around.
That's fair. You have to have a whole squad, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So you have a right now a left fielder and a third baseman. I am going to go with a center fielder and a shortstop.
Ooh.
As I will pick Francisco Lindor.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick.
Yeah. Again, I think there might even be better player. I mean, he's good, obviously. These first few picks are good.
Lindor is real, 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 real good.
Yeah. And I think now I have max fun on my team.
Yeah,
not
for sure.
You don't. You have two very fun players too, but
I think Lindor is basically the shortstop version of Bregman in that there's just no holes in his game. He's good at everything. Like, not even good at everything. He's, like, all-star level across the board. Defense, base running, hitting, batting
pop.
Eye, power.
Yeah.
And he is a very, very fun player. I would say you have a more fun team than me so far.
Great. All right, next pick.
My next pick.
Who's it going to be?
I think I'm going to go with Juan Soto.
Ooh, yeah. See, I thought about him. That's a good... I mean, I feel like that dude's just so good and he's going to continue to be good.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is we were just talking about how young Ronald Acuña is, and Juan Soto is a year younger than Ronald Acuña.
I always... Because he debuted when he hit the ground running.
He was 19.
Yeah.
He had had... he had played literally across his entire career. He had played 112 minor league games before he became a major leaguer.
Yeah, it was nothing. I think...
I do think, like, he's not as good a defender as Acuña, certainly. And there's, as a corner guy, more of a corner guy, there is some...
So you're putting Soto in right, or are you putting him in center? In center?
No, I'm not going to put him in center.
Yeah, I didn't think
I'm actually going to put him in left and Bellinger in right, I think, right
okay,
now.
Right now.
But Bellinger maybe
well, you
could
have a real
a
fungible
team.
Guy.
I know,
you
I sure do.
Real
I mean,
guy.
Bregman can play anywhere. We'll see. Maybe I'll put Bregman at short. We'll
oh,
see.
I see. This is just like when you video games, like I've played, like old school video games where you're just like, I don't care about the defense. I'm just going to throw. I'm just going to put the best hitters
Frank
out there.
Thomas
and, yeah, I'm just going to throw them anywhere.
Who you got number three?
This is tough. This is tough. Should I take your boy out from under you? God, it's so early to take a first baseman, don't you think?
I'm not weighing in.
You're not going to weigh
Every
in
Every team
at
has
all.
Their own draft process.
Oh,
you. Know?
You. I am going to take, fuck it. I want Vladdy.
You want Vladdy?
I'm going to take him now.
Wow.
I want him, so I'm going to take him now.
Wow.
I got my third baseman. My left side of the infield is locked down. I know he's not great defensively, but now I've just like apparently decided.
That was a real,
team, you think it was a reach? You think I reached?
Yeah, I think that was a reach. I think, to jump to a football reference, I think that was a Daniel Jones pick right there.
Oh, come on. It wasn't that bad. Over what? Over who? Makata?
Of guys still on the board?
I did you a favor by leaving you Moncada because I know you want him. Now he's wide
well,
open.
I don't know. I might not take Moncada.
Well, okay.
Unless I'm going to put him at second. That's I got Bregman.
Oh, you got Bregman. Well,
see, these second. Are the challenges. These are what you run into.
You think it's a reach? Why?
Just because he hasn't proved anything yet, you know.
He's been up for like 4 months.
Yeah, but like I think you have to take that into account. I don't think by any means this means Guerrero is going to be bad, but it's more information that says like, you know, he really has to hit to be a superstar. Like
because
really
he has
has to
defensive
hit.
Liability.
Yeah. And he may become a bigger liability. Like, he has been good, but I think there have been plenty of guys who are as good as him.
I see what you're saying. I don't regret it, though. I don't regret it.
When we look back on this in a 5-year anniversary post to see whose team has accumulated more wins, he might be leading the way.
He could be. I love him. I'm behind him. I'll reach for him. I wanted him.
Go for it.
You're up.
I know. I'm going to ace this pick.
You're going to ace it?
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I am. What is it?
I'm going Tatis. Fernando Tatis Jr.
Come on. What am I doing? Why isn't he showing up on my list? That's a brain fart.
Are you looking at the Fangraphs list? You might have to set the minimum plate appearances down because he's not a qualified hitter, I don't think.
He's not. I had it for qualified. I had it for not qualified, and then I think I refreshed and it went back. That changes my whole thing.
Well.
It's okay. I wouldn't have taken him. I would have, so. I fucked up. I already had a shortstop, though.
Yeah, you got Lindor. Who you got next?
Well, let me look.
I wonder what people listening are like. Are they driving, screaming about somebody that we're forgetting? Or are they rolling their eyes? They nodding their heads?
They're probably rolling their eyes. You know what? Fine. I'm going to take Makata and play him a second.
Hey, go for it.
Hey,
I love Yoan.
I'm just going to fill out this infield.
You've got an exciting team for sure.
Exciting team. How good is Makata at defense?
Well, he's been pretty good at third. He was not great at second last year, which is one of the reasons that they moved him. Mm-hmm. I think probably like this year he just looks a lot more settled as a major league player, like overall. So I think even if he had stayed at second, he probably like I think if you put him back there, he'd probably be better now than he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, there's a reason that they moved him.
Maybe I can have Guerrero play second.
Yeah, maybe. Or you could put Guerrero at first.
Well, we'll
or
see.
Or you can't put him at DH because you made your rule that you have to take the DH last. You really boxed yourself in here.
Well, this is why I don't play fantasy baseball. All right, you're up next. God, Corey Seager is still on the board. What are we doing?
Who?
What am I doing? Okay.
What are you
doing? I regret a lot of my choices.
Hey, it's all good. It's all good, buddy.
No, I messed up. I messed up with that Vlad reach.
Man, it's getting tougher, though.
Well,
I think.
I left Alberto Mondesi just sitting there.
Considering Mondesi, he's been good this year, but not that good. Okay.
Well, you're up. It's your
pick. I know that I'm up. So everybody just calm down. Listeners, calm down. I'm considering. I'm weighing my options here.
The real question in this kind of draft is when do you go first base, right?
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of good have-to-play-first-base out
for
there.
For sure.
And you already have someone who could play first base, so maybe you'll just do a bunch of outfielders. Who knows? But go ahead.
All right. Here's my curveball. I'm going Walker Buehler.
Mm. So now you've picked your pitcher.
I have picked my pitcher, and I think I got the best one available. As much as the homer in me would like it to have been Lucas Giolito, and they've been about equivalent this year, I mean, Buehler is just nasty, and he's been nasty from day one. Like,
that's a great
he throws
pick.
Gas. He doesn't walk guys, even though we saw him get hit around a little bit by the Rockies on Monday.
We saw, like, 9 home runs that game.
Yeah, that was an exciting game.
That was very exciting.
But Walker Buehler's my ace, my horse.
Boy. Okay, I'm up.
You are up.
I'm up. What do I do here? Oh, boy. My whole thing just went out on me. Okay, I have an outfield. So I need a first baseman and then 2 corner spots and a catcher or a pitcher.
And a pitcher.
Well, you already picked your pitcher. See, that's where you left your mistake. So I can just never pick a pitcher. Or I don't, not never, but I can just pick it at the end.
Yeah, sure.
You messed up, pal.
I don't think so.
You don't think you... Okay. This is the hemming and hawing is everyone's favorite part about listening to a podcast. What if I just went nuts? I don't even know how good he's going to be moving forward.
Give me your thought process here.
Well, I'm thinking about Laureano.
Okay. Okay.
How good do you think he's going to be offensively moving forward? A lot of his value has to be defensively, right?
Well, he's been really good this year offensively. I don't know a ton about him, like, in terms of what kind of prospect he was.
I don't either.
He did always hit. I'm just looking at his minor league stats. He always hit well. He came up through the Astros system, which I imagine has to be a plus in some way at this point. he always hit well. He was mostly, I think, it looks like maybe he had some injuries, especially early on, so maybe there's some health concerns. But, I mean, he's hit really well this year. He hit just as well last year, and he's got an incredible arm. I think it's a fair pick.
Well, I'm not going to pick him. I'm going to take the severe defensive hit and take Yordan Alvarez.
Oh, wow. For first base?
Did he not play left?
I don't know.
I know he is only profiling as a DH, but I thought he could play left.
Wow, that's a gutsy pick.
But that's a severe defensive hit.
Yeah, but... I mean,
boy,
that dude
boy,
crushes
he might
the ball.
Be able to crush. Well, right now I'm going to have him either first or left, depending on... Does he not play left?
He's played 27 games in left and 9 at first.
Okay, yeah, he's my left fielder. He's okay. Terrible at defense. Everyone knows it. But, boy, I want to see that bat.
Well, man, now you're making me reconsider.
It's tough, right? Most of the good young guys are infielders that you'd really want to, like, take, I feel like. And I've already filled up my infield.
All right. I'm going to do it. I'm going with Pete Alonso.
Yeah, you did it.
Perhaps to my doom. I did fill up first ahead of a few up-the-middle positions that
But I already have my up-the-middle positions, so this is what's bad about the two-person draft. So, all right.
I do wonder.
So I need a right fielder and I need a catcher and a first baseman.
Yes. And a pitcher. I do wonder. Mm-hmm. I hope not, but I do wonder if Alonso is going to be a Ryan Howard type guy who peaks super early because he's like.
It's on my radar.
Just as a first base only power bat who, like, he's not old, but he's on the older side. Out of all of these guys, you know, he's 24 this season. And he mashed in the minors, but I don't know. You just kind of wonder.
I could see it.
He's struck out a lot so far in the majors. He just hits the ball real, real hard, I guess. I guess that's what I'm banking on is that kind of exit velocity, that kind of bat speed will continue through his prime. And even Ryan Howard was pretty good until he was 30.
Yeah. Like, he could be good. I'm going to follow your first base pick with my own first base pick.
Oh, yeah.
And take Matt Olson.
Matt Olson. I would not have guessed Matt Olson would go in this draft.
Who else? What other first baseman?
Well, I'm not going to give it away. I still need a DH.
Okay.
Bra?
Okay.
Maybe you get creative. I don't know.
Let me see. Okay.
Okay.
You're going to take two catchers and the other one will play first?
Yep. I'm going to take Andrew Knizner of the Cardinals.
You take Ryan O'Hearn and hope that he... all right, your pick. I have my infield is full. I need a right fielder and a catcher. Feeling pretty good about my squad and a pitcher still.
I need a catcher, a second baseman... and a center fielder. Boy, catcher's a hard one.
It really is.
Catchers don't typically, like, aren't even everyday players a lot of the time by the time they're 25, even very good ones. And
yeah,
it is a
catcher's hard.
It is also not a very
good crop.
So you know what I'm going to do? Mm-hmm. Here's the real curveball of the draft.
Okay.
I'm going to take Adley Rutschman.
You are going to take Adley Rutschman.
I'm going to take Adley Rutschman as my catcher, the number one overall pick
prospect,
of this summer's draft.
For the
for the Orioles.
Orioles. That's fine. That's fair.
I mean, to be fair,
is he ready
myself,
for our next year game? No.
He might be.
Who's playing catcher? That's true. He might be.
So the draft talk this year was that he was the best prospect since Harper. And part of that is because he's supposedly very advanced at the game calling, catcher defense side of the ball. Like most of what holds catchers back is that part of the game, not so much their bat. Like usually, like Harper, if their bat's advanced enough, teams will just move the prospect off of catcher because they don't want him to spend 5 years in the minors. But
right. It
doesn't sound like that's going to be the deal with Rutschman. It sounds like
he's going to catch.
It sounds like he could play in the majors right now.
Wow.
So,
okay. Well, that's a good pick. It's a weak crop of catcher.
It is a weak crop.
Since
there's
I don't
a couple
know
guys.
Anything about prospects, which is my big blind spot in my baseball lore.
Yeah.
There's no way I was going to take him. But that's a good catch.
Good catch.
All right, I'm up. What do I need? A right fielder, catcher, and pitcher?
Yes.
Thinking about Austin Meadows.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I'm not going to do it. Quint Frazier. Ever heard of him? But Byron Buxton, could you even take him?
I mean, you could. He's having a good year.
For once, finally. I'm going to do it. This team is ridiculous. This is dumb. But I'm going to take Aristides Aquino.
Oh, wow. Okay, for right field.
Who knows what he's going to turn
knows,
into.
But that's very interesting.
Right?
Betting big on early performance. Aside
I'm continuing
from Vlad.
Our theory of our bad prediction and just going with trends.
Going with trends.
He's been very fun to watch.
Yeah, and I mean the other guy that has had a partial season. You have three essentially rookies on your team. Vlad, mm-hmm. not essentially. You have three rookies on your team. Vlad, Alvarez, and Aquino now. And it is, I mean, they all seem like they'll crush. They're all huge dudes. With,
yeah. Probably my defense
power.
Is terrible. I have a terrible defensive team.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
My infield or my up the middle, I guess, is okay.
Yeah. You have Lindor.
I'm a fool.
You are sort of building like a Yankees here. You know, like a Stanton and Judge type lineup linchpins, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this is funny to me because I've done a couple of fantasy football drafts with you. Probably a few, actually. Probably like at least three or four.
Yeah.
And I think you've reacted similarly like every one of those drafts where you're just kind of like the entire time you're like, ugh, what am I doing? Why did I just say that?
Yeah. This is tougher, though, because with fantasy football, it goes the other way because I prep so much. I put so many hours that I get mad when I make a pick because it's boring. You know, it's just like when I pick DJ Moore and I'm like, oh,
the,
fun,
like,
you know,
clever, like,
yeah, I'm just like,
pick.
Well, the numbers say this is where I should pick here.
Yeah, yeah.
And this time I'm going with only my heart and I'm like, well, I just need to think about this for 8 seconds more. Like taking Vlad. I probably could have gotten Vlad now. Gleyber Torres is out there. Yeah, doesn't matter. All right. Okay. We have two picks each left and then our DH.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right.
I am stalling because I'm looking up one more thing to try to figure out. I'll say I'm going to go second base here, I think. And I'm comparing three guys.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll tell you those three candidates are Ketel Marte, Ozzie Albies, and Gleyber Torres.
Yeah, those are all great.
And I don't know who to go with. Marte is having a ridiculous season this year.
Yeah, he really is, but like it...
But this is not even kind of out of nowhere. It's out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's
you
definitely
never would
out of
have
nowhere.
Guessed this.
Yeah.
He's 3 years older than Albies and Torres, who have both been all-stars essentially since they were called up. They've both been very good. Torres's defensive numbers aren't great. Albies's are much better. I think I'm going to go with Albies.
I would have gone. I thought about taking him earlier.
Yeah. That's my pick.
I think that's a good pick.
Ozzie Albies.
We split up the baby Braves.
We sure did.
All right. I have a catcher and a pitcher. catcher. As much as I want to say Victor Carantini.
That would be an insane pick.
It truly would be. I'm going to go with the Fresh Prince himself.
Will Smith.
Will Smith.
Wow.
Having a great, maybe won't last, have no idea how good he is, have no idea how good he is defensively.
I was just looking up before we started because I was totally not aware of how good of a season he's mm-hmm. having for the Dodgers until we were at the Dodgers game, and I was like, wait a second, this dude has crushed like 13 home runs or whatever. What the hell? So I looked up like his prospect stuff, and he was regarded as a good prospect. Like,
okay.
He was the fifth ranked prospect before the season in the Dodgers system, which is like a very, very good system. So I think that's a good pick out of crazy nowhere.
Yeah, I think it's.
I think it would have. Before I decided to go with Rutschman, I was considering him or Carson Kelly. I think they're really the two guys in the entire league in the majors right now who you would consider.
Carson Kelly was the only one I was even thinking about. But I think Will Smith.
And I think Smith is younger, even if Kelly has done it this season in a bit more playing time. But I think that's a good pick.
Great. Finally, I got one.
I think you finally got one.
I'm not going to regret. I'm not going to go back and forth on this one.
Yeah.
All right. You got what? What are you drafting right now?
I'm drafting my center fielder.
Oh, boy.
Which I weirdly saved till the end. I'm going to go with Andrew Benintendi.
There we go. I thought about him over Aquino. Yeah.
He's been sort of a little bit lost in the discussion this year. I don't think he's ever going to be an MVP candidate. But I think he'll consistently be... It's funny, this going back to what we were talking about earlier in the show with Bryce Harper and expectations, I think, you know, Benintendi's probably a pretty solid bet to be a four-win player through the rest of his prime. And that's great.
Yeah, I think that's great. For this is good.
Yeah, but he doesn't have those... Or he didn't have those colossal expectations that somebody like Harper had.
Oh, no, I just lost Fangraphs. Oh, no. So your squad is picked.
My squad is picked aside from my
DH. I am trying to vamp because for some reason I lost Fangraphs. Oh, nice. I'm picking a pitcher, right?
Yeah. Were you...
What's fun? You took Bueller. I mean, I think I know who I was going to pick no matter what. I just wanted to look. To be my starter, Josh Hader. That's not true. I'm not going to do it.
There's a lot of guys to consider here. And like, I think the thing that is even harder with pitchers than with position players is like how much to weigh track record versus potential.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw a curveball myself, but I'm going to go with Mike Soroka.
Wow.
Is it Soroka or Soroka?
Soroka.
I passed right by Bieber.
Interesting. You are
no Berrios, and I think I'm going to go with Soroka. No
consideration for Lucas Giolito, huh?
I thought about him. I also thought about Brad Keller.
You thought about Brad Keller? Well, at least you didn't pick Brad Keller.
I didn't seriously think about Brad Keller. I thought about him because he's on the Royals.
Soroka has obviously been extremely, extremely good this year.
Yeah.
He has... He doesn't strike a huge number of guys out.
Is that a problem?
I think... Well, I mean...
No, it is. I understand that it is.
I don't think it's a bad pick, and I think he probably will strike more guys out as he... Because he's less a velocity guy and more of a stuff and command guy.
A little crafty.
I think. I could be completely wrong on that. I hope there's no Braves fans who are correcting me, but... He doesn't walk guys, and it's just interesting, you know. I think he's a guy who we've talked so much over the last couple of years about the evolution of baseball and how, you know, the home run spike, the new ball, like potential rule changes and stuff. And I think good pitchers who are not as big strikeout guys as maybe the people who we think as elites, you know, the DeGroms and whatnot, could have a lot to gain from potential changes to the rules.
Oh, yeah. You want to be able to get by without striking guys out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically. Or not even changes to the rules, but changes in strategy. You
strategy,
know, maybe,
yeah.
Like, maybe there are a bunch more contact guys, and, like teams start emphasizing contact more in an effort to counteract strikeouts, because strikeouts tip over the, like, productivity point, whatever that is, and suddenly it helps to be a guy who can survive with contact happening.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Also, it's like, if you're drawing bad contact, but you're not getting a lot of swings and misses, and you're not walking people, you're also probably not cranking up your pitch count.
Yeah, this is true.
Which is a huge concern.
Could
pitch a lot of innings, or lower risk of injury, even if you're still getting yanked after, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just didn't want to pick an Indian, if I'm being honest with you.
So now we're to our DH slot.
So this is just a wild card.
I know exactly who I'm going to take. One of my favorite players in the league, actually. Joey Gallo.
You're taking Gallo.
Joey Gallo.
Great
dude crushes.
DH. Great pick.
And when, you know, on his day off from DHing, he can rotate into the outfield or the infield, keep some guys fresh. I'm thinking like a manager.
Well, I'm going to have no choice but to take Rafael Devers with my DH pick.
I forgot Devers was still on the board. That's a
very
good pick.
I was frankly surprised that you didn't take him.
Because I thought I took him as a third baseman.
When you said that, I was like, wait, did he take Devers? No.
Wow. Well, I still think Joey Gallo is a better pure hitter, is a better like hitter value hitter than Devers, although Devers is probably going to win the batting title. Maybe that's not true. I don't know. Gallo just has insane power.
He does. I mean, at least you took him for DH. I took Alvarez, and he's out there playing in the field. I might have to convert either Devers or Vladdy into a left fielder to see
if
there
you
better.
Go. You probably put Devers at third.
And then convert
and then
Vladdy
have a,
to left.
Yeah, have like a battle to the death between Vlad and Alvarez in the outfield. And they could literally die because they, you know, or they might run into the wall
like
or something.
Like idiots.
Yeah. Okay, let's recap for everybody listening what these teams are. Team Greg is... Around the diamond, Adley Rutschman at catcher, Pete Alonso at first base, Ozzy Albies at second base, Alex Bregman at third base, Fernando Tatis Jr. at shortstop. My heart as a White Sox fan breaks, but my heart as a manager.
At least you got him on one of your teams.
Yeah, I got him on one of my teams. In left field, Cody Bellinger, in left field, Juan Soto. In center field, Andrew Benintendi. In right field, Cody Bellinger. At DH, Joey Gallo. And starting for the Greg Nine, it's Walker Buehler. For Team Wayland.
Great 10.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, you get it. It's an important number in baseball.
Yeah.
Starting for Team Wayland, at catcher, Will Smith. At first base, Matt Olson. At second base, Yoan Moncada. At third base, Vlad Guerrero Jr. At shortstop, Francisco Lindor. Left field, Yordan Alvarez. Center field, Ronald Acuna Jr. Right field, Aristides Aquino. DH, Rafael Devers, and starting, Mike Soroka. Good teams.
I feel like those are really good teams.
And, like, thinking of it as the sort of future of baseball, there are some compelling motherfucking players on these teams. There are some guys who are very fun to watch. There are some guys with interesting stories. There are some guys with a ton of charisma.
No Gleyber Torres.
No Gleyber Torres. Yeah, let's talk about...
I think you're right. I think we definitely have a good future of baseball. I think I took some big swings that might not pan out for a good team. We're talking slugs. Did Marte make a team? You got him. Right?
Who?
Marte. You got Marte.
I did not.
So he did not make a squad.
Correct.
No. Polanco. No.
I would say, like, in terms of star power, Carlos Correa and Corey Seager, neither of them made a team.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, if we're going by Fangraphs WAR here, the first position player who is not picked was Jorge Polanco of the Twins, followed closely by Paul DeJong of the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Marte was the first not picked, right?
Oh, yes. Marte was highest not picked. Sorry. For some reason, I have to be honest, the reason I was hesitating was because when you said Marte, I was like, Starling Marte? I don't think he's under 25. I forgot that we were just talking about Ketel Marte.
Yeah.
So apologies to all you Ketel Marte fans out there who are probably pissed off anyway. There might be a few Diamondbacks fans who listen. You never know.
Well, we have deep Arizona connections.
That's true. The family ties, they go deep. If we're talking about pitcher value, Shane Bieber leads the majors in this particular categorization. Lucas Giolito is second. Walker Buehler is third. Jose Berríos is fourth. So obviously we there are some big names we didn't pick, but we were only picking one pitcher at a time. And you're right that Josh Hader is the top relief pitcher, who has been extremely valuable. He's been worth two wins this year, but I mean, that just pales in comparison. For context, Reynaldo Lopez is having a terrible season as a starter for the White Sox, and he has also been worth two wins.
Can't compare them. This is, I mean, it's tough. This is like, think about doing this draft 8 years ago. I don't think we would have had as many like recognizable names, and think
young
we would
names.
There would have been more like projected players.
Yeah, maybe, or guys who are a little bit older and already established, more of the 25, like Andrew Benintendi kind of a guys.
And maybe more prospects. But I mean, we have like Bellinger, Lindor.
It's a little bit
Acuna.
Counterintuitive because you would think like in this era of extreme service time manipulation, there wouldn't be quite so many guys who are 20, 21, 22. But I guess, I don't know what that says about player development. I guess, you know, there's just guys who take to it very easily and have such incredible natural skills and get the right coaching and land in the right spot. It just happens. It just clicks very easily.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably just, you know, it's people are specializing and you could get big and beefy when you're 16. And
yeah, that's
like,
true.
You know
you
what
can
I mean?
Start a lot earlier.
Yeah. You could start to be major league ready in high school.
Yeah.
Not that you could play in the majors, but like look at Juan Soto. He's 19 coming in. Like,
right.
I think it's just possible to get the skills there sooner than you could earlier because.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Apps.
Yeah. Yeah, and just better training methods.
Internet apps.
Yeah, and
Frappuccinos.
You made the apps count. I'm not sure how that applies, but
no. But I do think it would be interesting to do this 8 years ago because I like these teams would be good now. Like these would be pretty good teams now.
Yeah, for sure.
Like
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like
I mean,
legit. Like not that they could beat a team.
These
that
are
all star like,
teams.
Yeah, these are essentially
either of these teams,
teams
could be basically. A starting team in the All-Star
game.
Yeah,
and I don't think that would have been true even... I'm picking 8 years ago arbitrarily, but I don't think 10 years ago, 8 years ago, that would have been true.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, because that's getting ahead before Lindor, and because I feel like that these people that you were talking about at the top of this segment that are like Altuve's, Trout's...
Who are the stars now.
Yeah, those would have been maybe the ones going first, and then we would have been...
Didn't come up quite so early with maybe the exception of Harper and Trout.
I tell you what, Eric Hosmer would have been on my team.
Yeah. You would have regretted it, just like the Padres. Hey-o. All right. Well, we're about out of time. That was kind of cool. Please tweet at us. Let us know what you think of our teams.
Oh, yes. They have to tell us whose team they like better.
Yeah, tell us whose team you like better. I'll try to remember to post the teams so everybody can look at them side by side.
They have to tell us.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back throughout September with playoff race analysis, should it tighten up, and through the playoffs.
After this, there are 30 players older than me in Major League Baseball. Should we just draft?
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
Those 30
yeah.
The older than Waylon draft.
Yeah. That's a good off-season topic for sure. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Off the Bench and Boardwalk for their support. Like I said at the top, go visit them. Thank you to producer Joe for the theme song and Moonbounce for the transition music. And we will talk to you guys soon. Keep baseballing. I'm trying that catchphrase out. What do you think?
Keep baseballing to the stars.
Keep baseballing to the stars.
This has has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.